Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's the podcast.
For antiques.
And freaks.
What antiques are we talking about today?
Well, at last my arm is complete.
At last your arm is complete again, Sweeney Todd.
And we're going to be talking about my friends. Just, I don't know the song.
See how they glisten?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. And they'll drip rubies. We're talking about razors. For shaving. Hence the Sweeney Todd. So what do you know about razors?
Sweeney Todd is about it.
That's honestly pretty much the only thing that I cared to know until now. Razors are a part of Barbariana, which I mention only because I love the word, which means to collect barber stuff.
Oh, is this kind of like your endless quest for a disinfecting cabinet?
Yeah, this does play into that quest. Someday. I'll find you, disinfecting cabinet. Razors are really old. Older than even I thought.
How old?
Possibly the start of humanity. Definitely at least the Egyptians. There are, like, cave painting depictions of people with beards and without beards, accompanied by finds of suspiciously long, sharp rocks that may have been used for shaving, which is why a lot of people believe that it's older even than the Egyptians. The Egyptians painted pictures of it, though, so we know that's definitely there. And like I said, they started out as just sharp rocks, like most things were. And then it was just a knife. You just have a knife, you use that to shave.
Just go at your face with a knife, NBT.
Just sharpen it first, yeah. Eventually they got specialized into small face hatchets. Which, like, I don't know why that was the shape. We already had hatchets, so there's a connotation being made. Just take an axe to your face, you bearded fuck.
Do Lizzie Borden proud.
God, do you think?
No, I think she was just trying to give him a shave. Yeah.
There we go, yeah. Misunderstood. The earliest recognizable version of the straight razor was patented in the 1700s by someone time forgot. And that was the thin handle, still sort of hatchet-shaped, but it was bent at an angle and was called the hoe razor because it resembled a garden hoe.
I was just thinking, like, that blade is like a very stretched-out meat cleaver in a way.
Yeah, yeah. When I was reading about the hatchet, I was just like, that sounds stupid. Then I'm like, oh, it still kind of looks like one, I guess. Huh.
Hatchet Man was Razor Man the whole time.
Don't tell the killer clowns, will get so mad. If you point out that it's a butcher's cleaver at all, they just lose it.
Whoop whoop.
This is a killer clown safe space.
Is it?
No. So eventually, they were made to pivot around to protect the blade, which led to the design that we're all familiar with. This was both to keep the blade from becoming dull, because sharpening it was a pain in the ass, and to stop people from errantly cutting their hands open every time they reached for it. Mostly the sharpness. They can be made from pretty much anything, based on where they were and what age we're talking about. Crude iron, sophisticated iron, bone, steel.
Iron that went to college.
Yeah, you know what?
Ivory tower iron.
Carbonized iron.
Coastal elite iron.
Wasp irons. I meant like carbon irons and carbon steels.
Aha.
And silver, which, great, I guess, if you're a werewolf. Wait.
If you shaved a werewolf with a silver razor, would that, like, permanently make them a bald wolf?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I said wait. Like, I think we both hit the same conundrum at the exact same time.
Werewolf hacks.
Like, oh my god, yeah, could you... What, like, that can't be, because then werewolves would just be embarrassing each other all the time instead of fighting, right?
I think for a werewolf to hold a silver razor in their hand and or paw would cause them as much pain as to be shaved by it.
Oh.
So it'd probably be a tactic of human werewolf hunters.
To embarrass them.
Yes.
Because I'm picturing a werewolf with like a tonsure between its ears.
Oh my god.
If you know what happens to werewolves when you shave them with a silver razor.
Contact antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we promise we won't tell the military. The handles are made from even greater varieties of material. Tortoise shell, famously wood, horn, bone, plastics such as celluloid, bakelite, ivory, mother of pearl, sterling. Some of these make more sense than others. Some of them were solid gold. That seems stupid. You know, the softest metal. One of the sites did misspell celluloid as cellulite.
Early plastic or concentrated fat? We might never know.
I have this razor made from concentrated fat. It's not very good. Razors were mostly made in England and then would later be made in Germany and America, with some of the best examples coming from Germany, because Germany quickly dominated the cutlery market, and I think still does. But I'm not as good at current stuff as I am with antiques. And this is where the barbershop comes in.
and their infamous quartets.
The quartets that roamed the countryside howling. Wait.
Dino.
I got confused.
No Werewolf Barbershop Quartet.
Oh, though that'd be...
The howls would be impeccable, but we cannot dwell upon it.
Oh, boy. Anyway. So, as you probably know, barbershops where people would shave you and do other things to make your countenance attractive.
And also fix your bones.
Yes.
And do your surgeries.
Yes.
And maybe pull your teeth if they were feeling optimistic.
They usually weren't. The barbershop arose because using a straight razor requires a serious level of skill.
Comparable to the skill required to cut open a human body and poke around inside.
I would say easier than that.
Eh?
I don't think you need to go to school for 9 years to learn how to shave a guy.
Is that not what the barber colleges were for?
No, they were learned for shaving. They were learned for shaving? I'm gonna leave
so
that
So they
in.
Weren't to teach you how to shave a guy, they were just to teach you how to shave a guy?
Well, they weren't to teach you how to shave a guy, not to gut a guy.
Yeah. So you still do have to go to school to learn how to shave a guy.
Well, barber, yes. Yes, you do. If you didn't pick up the skill as an apprentice to a family member, you would go to school for it. It pisses me off because you get into these conversations with people sometimes about straight razors where they're just like, oh, it's a misconception. Anyone can use them. Everyone's always like, oh, it's so dangerous. Oh, it's so scary. It's very easy. It's not. That's deeply disrespectful to people who learned the art form. It is a skill.
It's also deeply disrespectful to people who want, like, their jugular vein on the inside of their skin.
Yeah, it's deeply disrespectful to keeping your blood inside. Because, like, there's a certain kind of insanity that comes along with, there's nothing dangerous about this insanely sharp blade.
Just all over your throat.
A bald blade that I'm putting directly onto your throat. Like, okay, do you take me for an idiot, sir? Razors also require very regular sharpening, honing, and maintenance. Famously with a leather piece called a strop. Again, this is time-consuming, and honing is a professional skill that not everyone can do. And that is something barbers would learn to do because they didn't maintain their equipment. Even now, honing is considered an artisanal skill. So don't disrespect honers. It also included the huge ritual that you're probably familiar with hot towels, soap, very expensive boar bristle brushes. However, barbershop razors very plain. They were tools to accomplish a job and nothing else. Later, home razors would be the ones that were incredibly decorated. Home razors are also one of my favorite things because you can get the exceptionally rare 7-day shaving kit, which was a straight razor where the pivot swapped out with different blades so they could be sharpened all at once so that your servant would always have a sharp blade for you for the week.
Ignoring the fact that the blades would then get less sharp as the week went on.
No, you used a different blade every day.
Right, but if you're sharpening them all at once, then the razor you use on day 7 is 7 days dull.
Yes. Like most upper-class things, there's a level of it that doesn't make any sense. There's also, you know, the obscene, like, wealth that comes along with, I hired this highly specialized servant specifically to shave me.
And then gave him 7 blades.
7 blades. Do with them what you will, sir. So straight razors were the primary kind of razor until... Eventually, the legend known as King Camp Gillette entered the scene and introduced the safety razor in 1901. King Camp Gillette is the best name I've ever heard in my life.
Queen Victoria dies, King Camp Gillette rises.
Yeah. Oh my god, what if he had her spirit?
I don't think so. I don't think the spirit of Queen Victoria entered this man and inspired him to invent the safety razor.
That's a shame. It would have been the only good thing she did.
Jesus.
So King Camp Gillette came up with the idea for the safety razor while he was working for a cork company, where he understood the practicality of having a product that was disposable and thus needed to be purchased multiple times. So it wasn't really, he wasn't just being generous to humanity, although it was an issue that the straight razor required skill, that he also found that angle to capitalize on. He just also made it incredibly valuable to himself. He was also a utopian socialist, which goes along well with his background history of man who exploits the market to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, I don't think disposable consumer goods when I think utopian socialist, but sure.
He wrote a book called The Human Drift in 1894, and his idea of utopian socialism was that all industry should be owned by a single corporation.
I mean...
And that everyone in the U.S. would live in a giant city called Metropolis, powered by Niagara Falls.
I can't say he wasn't ambitious.
What says socialism more like we should all... Like, of course my life should be owned by a giant corporation. Best part, he offered President Theodore Roosevelt the presidency of the company, also a questionable choice for a socialist, for the low, low price of $1 million. Which is a ballsy move, because Roosevelt is absolutely one of the few presidents that I have no doubt would throw hands with you. I just love that. I just love that he was like, listen, Mr. Roosevelt, if you want to stay the president, you can.
Bully!
For $1 million.
Less bully.
So King Camp Gillette's amazing. He eventually died as that weird guy in Palm Springs. I wish I were making that up. Anyway, he did steal the idea. The safety razor was not an innovation made by King Camp Gillette.
So, according to King Camp Gillette, the two marks of utopian socialism are capitalism and theft.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And making fuck tons of money.
Sure.
Straight razors had actually been introduced in 1762 that had guards on them. These little metal teeth that would keep the blade from hitting your skin immediately. And the Kampf brothers of New York in 1880 had already patented an actual safety razor that physically resembled King Camp Gillette's in many ways. The only difference of Gillette's was that the blades were not forged, they were stamped, which made them cheaper and thus more disposable. The other thing that made him the absolute monster of the industry that he ended up being was that he won a bid to supply the US military with razors in World War I. Because when I think utopian socialist, I think exploit the military complex.
I think war profiteering.
Absolutely. So he had a captive buying audience, and when they came home, they were allowed to keep their razors. And so they did. And that made Gillette the top of the industry.
Because when I think utopian socialism, I think Daddy Warbucks.
You don't?
Is he an anarcho-capitalist? Is that what he's doing?
He's absolutely an ANCAP. Oh my god. I wish he'd been a primitivist so we'd just get mauled by a puma. Oh, man.
His razor's too safe to defend himself with.
Oh my god, no. It just provided a clean, safe shave. So another reason why it took off is because it no longer required skill. Any jerk-off could shave their own face now, although the wet shave was still commonplace up until the 1950s, which was when aerosolized shaving cream happened.
Spray and shave.
Spray and shave, 1950s. Sign up for it. But yes, its disposable blades meant an eternal income for the blade maker. He essentially started to see what company could spring up and then make more of the razor disposable. You had lines that had entire disposable heads, disposable handles, interchangeable disposable blades, which is confusing. I didn't get too deep into that one. Until eventually Bic killed it in 1976 with a razor that you disposed of in its entirety.
Just chuck the whole thing.
Get rid of the whole fucking thing.
Utopian socialism.
This is utopian socialism is making as much waste as possible. Oh, Lord. For safety razors, they come in two flavors. Single-edged and double-edged. This is exactly what it sounds like. I actually couldn't find the use of a double-edged blade beyond you get one more use out of it before you have to get rid of the blade, which seems, I don't know, piddling, but...
Wait, is that why, like, the classic Hot Topic image of a razor is, like, a rectangle with a squiggly line in the middle and both sides
yes.
are bladed?
That would be a double-bladed shaving blade.
That's the most useless thing in the planet.
Again, it's like, you're really quibbling with your time at that point. The double-edged ones have aggression levels, which is weirdly not something I made up. An aggression level is an adjustable scale of protection from the blade itself in case you want to cut yourself. I guess. I, again, searched and could not find the reasoning behind this. Closest I got was, well, what if you wanted a closer shave? At which point I say, well, get a straight razor then.
Oh, you.
The whole point is not having to think about things anymore. You're introducing a level of decision-making that I didn't want. And then all razors got completely fucked by weird shit when Schick created the electric oscillating razor in 1928, introducing far too many options for shaving your face, a legacy that continues today.
Yay!
Oh, injector blades. Yeah, those are good ones.
Are they?
Yeah, no. They're very dangerous.
I'm not a doctor, but I also don't think it's a great idea for me to inject razors into my veins.
No, you inject the razors into the handle. You load it like a gun. I'm not kidding.
So it's revolver ocelot, but blade based.
6 blades. Enough to shave anything that moves. I do like the idea of loading my razor like a gun, however. Yeah, they didn't do too well, amazingly.
You don't say. Wait, sorry. Furthering razor blades as revolvers. So we're in Tombstone, and we're watching two cowboys show down. And one says, reach for the sky. And as he does, the other man shaves his pits.
Oh my god. And then the sun reflects off his smooth skin and he wins. I just wanted to finish the scenario. So, I know I've been talking about blades, and now you're either listening to Hawthorne Heights, or you're thinking about collecting razors. Or neither, I guess. There's always that option.
You could be sailing away with Gillette in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm surprised he hasn't come up sooner. So, cut my wrists, black my eyes. Do you want to collect razors?
Sure.
This is one of the very few antiques that are acceptable to restore in broad strokes. Because thanks to their reintroduction as a popular item, their usefulness adds to their value, which is unique. You pretty much only get this in like kitchen implements usually. It also helps that there are thousands and thousands. It's a utilitarian object. There are many that are not especially valuable in terms of being held in their original state, which means you just have a lot more leeway to get things fixed up. We can all thank hipsters for this. A good candidate for restoration would be a large full hollow blade over 6/8 inch that needs new scales but minimal blade work, any wedge over 6/8 in size regardless of rust, unique or valuable razors, razors with excellent quality steel but terrible scales, and any razor with sentimental value, or that is a family heirloom. As a side note, the scales is just the handle. This does introduce the problem where you do have to be very, very wary of reproductions. Lots of people are making straight razors and safety razors in the old-fashioned style, but new. This is actually because of nostalgia, current disillusionment with disposable culture, and for straight razors in particular, can be pinned down to 2012 with their showing in the movie Skyfall. A fact I am never going to let go of because it's delightful. We can sociologically pin it to that one event. There is the scene in Skyfall where he is shaven, and everybody likes to look at that so much, despite the fact that you're not supposed to like that variation of James Bond as a role model. They are very cheap and easy to collect. Again, because there are so goddamn many of them. Your average razor, safety razor, will start with at $1, maybe to $50 for a deluxe model in the box. And straight razors, much the same. Fine materials, such as sterling silver, bone, and all of that, or rare and unique models, will cost you more, but comes with the territory. But overall, pretty accessible. That's that for razors.
Right on. Do we have sources?
We have sources. If you'd like more information, I recommend The Standard Guide to Razors, Identification and Values 3rd Edition by Roy Ritchie and Ron Stewart.
A triplicate?
Oh.
Roy Ritchie and Ron Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh. Roy Ritchie and Ron Stewart.
Oh, you thought it was okay. Roy, comma, Ritchie and Ron Stewart?
Yes.
And they just, like, only the last one got a last name?
No, I thought there was, like, three brothers that, like, wrote a razors book.
No, Roy Ritchie's one man.
Okay.
And Ron Stewart is another man.
All right.
Other sources include collectorsweekly.com/accessory/razors, regrettably includes theartofmanliness.com/razors, postbulletin.com/life/lifestyle/antiques/razors. Interestingly, the postbulletin one did include the sentence written by a woman. Through the many years I have been doing research in collectible items, I have found certain items to be a challenge, such as straight razors, and maybe this is because I am a woman. Which is a crazy thing to say. I know a lot of people who know a lot of things about stuff they never use. So I really don't, like, that's all I'm going to say to that woman. I will not call her out by name, that would be rude.
Alright.
But yeah.
If you would like to talk to us more about straight razors, or any razors, or just want to say hey, you can contact us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks, or better yet, you can check out the Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, where we have a bunch of cool people making cool graphics and talking about antiques.
Generally delighting us all. You can also hit us up if you want to talk about Gillette, the character from Pirates of the Caribbean.
I mean, I'm down.
And his tenure in those movies was cut tragically short, and I still think that was a mistake.
If you want to check out the vintage goods we have for sale, you can hit up our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where we also have t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them. And vintage animal traps?
We also have a really charming little tiny pair of earrings carved from animal bone to look like piano keys.
Aww.
Very fond of it.
And if you would like to check out some deleted scenes, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And there you can also join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
We will be introducing a tier where, for the low, low price of $1 million, you can be the president of our utopian society. That suspiciously involves us making a lot of money.
And thank you to our current patrons for supporting the podcast and paying our hosting fees and keeping the lights on.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening.
That's right, you.
Bye.
Bye.